Fires deep, middle of the field, intercepted. An incredible pick by Patrick Peterson.
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Great move to the right at the 50. Cuts back to the left at the 40. He's loose at the 30. He's at the 20, the 10. Touchdown, Cardinals!
Rise up and make a play.
He's hit by Chandler Jones and sacked.
You've got to be kidding me.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
And we kick things off with a quote here, gentlemen. And I do quote, "I'm very excited to be back in Indianapolis. I sure have missed the combine." A, Darren Urban. B, Kyle Odegaard. Well, C can't be Paulie Pencilneck because I'm not there. Or D, John Gruden. Which one of those folks has really, truly, genuinely missed the combine? And they are very excited to be reporting from Indianapolis. Gentlemen, how are we doing out there? And I think we all know the answer to that. It would be the $100 million man, John Gruden. If you run into him when you're out and about, and I know you are, young Kyle, just have John Gruden pick up your tab. Just put it on there. Just sign it to the room of John Gruden accordingly when you're out and about on the scene.
So he's excited to be back because he got a nice paycheck to be back? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe. Although he also he grumbled later, guys, that he can't believe you're not allowed to have contact with players during this dead period. And he said, "We're making decisions on players and cutting guys and signing guys to long-term deals, and I can't even meet with them." So John Gruden, didn't take him long to start grumbling.
I was going to say, clearly that's the proof right there that John Gruden has not been out of coaching too long, because he dropped right back into it and he's already complaining about the off-season rules from the CBA just like every other coach.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Darren, so you're coming at us from Indianapolis, the site of how many combines now? Can we say a decade? Do we need more than two hands to count how many combines you've covered?
This would be 18, Paul.
18! Wow, I'm not even close.
As a cohort of mine mentioned today, she said, your combine experience is not old enough to serve our country. Congratulations.
I mean, I tell you what, though, Kyle. I mean, if you rewind back 18 years, I mean, it was Darren Urban, Adam Schefter, and John Clayton. I mean, those were like the three media members in attendance 18 years ago.
Yeah, that's what you said. It was way different. Now it's this huge production. And the nice thing, I think this is my fifth one. The best thing about this year is the weather here is, like, unseasonably warm, and it's beautiful. It's usually 10 degrees, and we're looking at like 50s and 60s, so it's a lot more enjoyable when you're not freezing, I'll tell you that much.
Well, we're all going to die because of global warming, but it's enjoyable for the combine.
Yeah, smoke them while you got them. Enjoy it while we all meet our demise, I guess. Yeah,
that's right.
What sort of mood, Darren, was Steve Keim and Steve Wilks in? Because we know they met the media on your first full day there.
Well, I mean, I think they were in the kind of mood that you'd expect. I mean, they came in, they knock out, guys, decision makers have a kind of a choice if they meet with the media of when to do it. And the Cardinals usually are one of the first ones to go. And in fact, Steve Wilks, I want to say, was like the fourth or fifth GM/coach to speak. And that didn't surprise me that much. I mean, as we've already known, and if anybody's seen this week's episode of Flight Plan talking about how early Steve Wilks gets to the facility, he likes to get his stuff done early and get the day going, and I feel like that was kind of it. And although they did have some interviews the very first night on Tuesday night, I think this is the very front end. There's no workouts yet, so it made sense to go ahead and get that stuff done. And I think mood wise, I think they're cautiously energized, if that's the right phrase. I mean, look, the bottom line is this is an incredibly important time for this organization. You're about to have free agency. You're now at the combine. You're trying to figure out what players you might be interested in drafting, especially high and especially at the most important position on the field, at quarterback. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty with this team, and there's going to continue to be for a little bit until they can actually make some actual moves. But, I think this is part of the process, and that's what they're embracing right now. And unfortunately, that also means there's not a whole lot of answers when they do talk to us. So there's not a whole lot of clarity that they can give us either.
Yeah, the quarterback question isn't just a Cardinals decision. It's the ultimate Cardinals decision, as we termed it and titled it at azcardinals.com in the latest edition of Cards Weekly. But there's no doubt Flight Plan is a must-watch, either at Facebook Watch, or you can go through azcardinals.com. You get to ride along with Steve Wilks and Steve Keim as they come to and from work. So that's always great all-access stuff, no doubt about that. And we know there's what we hear about from you guys. There's what we can see on NFL Network, and then there's what teams do behind the scenes that maybe they find most valuable about the Combine, and Steve Keim touched on that.
You know, when I come here, I get most excited about getting to know these people in the interviews at night, getting to hear about their story, see the passion that they have for the game, and then more than anything as well is the medical side of it, because we all know that durability is a key factor in having success.
You know, Kai, I always dismiss the medical side of it and say, well, you know, come on, they're coming out of college. But then you realize it's someone like a Josh Allen who fractured his collarbone for a second time recently, and there were like 7 breaks with 8 screws in his recovery, and that's his throwing shoulder. You can see where, as a guy who might go number one overall, teams are all in, have a very vested interest in the health of a Josh Allen.
Oh, that's a huge deal. And, you know, you look at something like that, old injuries, or even when you consider ACLs, you hear a guy tore his ACL, but there's so many different varying degrees of how badly you tore it. If there's other ligaments, I mean, one guy can tear his ACL and be back in 6-8 months. Another guy, it's possibly going to affect the 2 or 3 years, your whole career. So, you know, they know these guys pretty well from what they've seen on tape. And sometimes this medical check is the first time they can really understand what's been going on with them, and the trainers can look at it and see if they're going to hold up physically. Because like you said, it's such an investment. You're talking about your first round pick, choosing a guy. You want to make sure he checks every box. And a big one is physically, where if you're worried about a guy being injury prone, that's going to dock him significantly on how you grade him.
And Darren, if memory serves, they get 15 minutes for a select number of interviews. They get to select so many guys, and they get 15 minutes per interview per player?
Yeah, you get up to 60 official interviews, and then they get 15 minutes. So they're kind of their version of speed dating. But that doesn't mean it's the only guys they talk to while they're here. There are other little times where you can kind of steal a few minutes here and there with a guy, depending on where he is and where you are and all that kind of stuff. So there's, a lot of talking that goes on with these guys and trying to get in their heads a little bit. Steve Wilks, you know, was telling me the other day, and it's something he's said a couple of times. I mean, that's the important stuff to him, is learning about these guys. And we've talked about it. Steve Keim has mentioned the heart and the head a million times, and how that may be more important than physical ability in terms of long-term prognosis as a player. But that's why this stuff is so important, and that's why a lot of times it's not necessarily the 40 time that is what they're watching when they come to Indianapolis.
Yeah, Steve Keim has made it clear time and again that, you know, the big question isn't can they work out, can they register at the combine, it's can they play.
The thing you have to rely on is the tape. And a lot of times, I say this many times, is we go out and we fall in love with a player in the fall and we confuse ourselves in the spring. We're getting excited about how he jumped and how he ran the 3-cone. Unfortunately, you don't run a 3-cone on Sunday at 1 o'clock.
But, Kyle, guys can make a difference, right? I mean, if they have a great combine, I mean, they will elevate their status. I guess if they're a disaster, so like a Teddy Bridgewater a few years ago, and he had that one workout that, you know, sent him plummeting down out of the first round, I guess that's one side of it. And then conversely, there's what we don't know, how things go in the interviews and then the medical checks. For everything that still goes back to whether they played well on Saturday to figure out if they can play well on Sunday, these other things are factors in their overall grade, correct?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think you have this preconceived notion about these players, and if you're grading a guy really high, he's going to stay there. But if there's a red flag at the combine, like you said, in a variety of ways, but there have been plenty of guys that came to the combine and ran, you know, quite a bit slower than maybe they were projected or people thought. And when you're looking at a skill guy like a wide receiver or on defense, a cornerback, I mean, if you run a little bit slower than people thought, that can affect you by a round sometimes or 2 rounds, because that elite speed is so important in the NFL to be able to stick with a guy on a go route or be able to get past the defender. So I think people downplay it, and I understand it because you do want to rely on the tape. But Hassan Reddick came here last year and had a fantastic combine, and And I think that really helped elevate his stock because he showed how athletic he was, and guys have done that. Buda Baker had a really nice combine. So either it reinforces what you thought about a player, or it might have you look closely at a guy that maybe you weren't looking at and realize that, hey, he has this athleticism. Let's go watch the tape a little bit closer.
Yeah, memory serves. What, Hassan Reddick ran the 4.52, and then all of a sudden, no, a lot of people went, whoa, okay, maybe he can make that transition from a guy whose hand was in the dirt. And then, Darren, there's also Anquan Boldin. I know Steve Keim on Wednesday in Indianapolis dropped Anquan Boldin. The guy ran a 4.7 at the combine and dropped into the second round to the Cardinals' benefit.
Yeah, I mean, again, the thing is you have to take it all into account. We talk about this on a yearly basis. Like I said, this is now 18 combines. I've talked to Steve Keim, and Steve Keim has been at least a scout for the entirety of all these combines that I've come to, and I've talked to him on and off over the years, obviously quite a bit. And he's really never changed anything. And they all say that. They all say it's all part of the process. The issue, of course, when you get to the draft is it doesn't matter how much information you have. Ultimately, there's still somewhat of a crapshoot mentality to it because you don't know until you actually spend some time with a guy in training camp and probably into the first season how exactly they're going to perform on the NFL level, because there's no way to really know what happens when you drop them into professional football and against all the best talent and not just some of it or whatever it might be. And it doesn't always go with, you know, what kind of talent the guy has in terms of raw skills. It doesn't always go to what his heart is or how smart he is. It's all got to come together in this perfect storm, and you can't really know. So again, this is about being prepped as best you can and to make the most intelligent decision that you feel that you're making at with each pick. But the number of moving parts, and we haven't even talked about all the other teams and how they're interpreting stuff and how they might judge somebody better and all this stuff. I mean, it still comes down to, you know, ultimately a little bit of luck. Again, you can only prep so much for the test.
Yeah, I mean, you get your 15 minutes, you're trying to gauge a player's passion for the game and his football IQ, and they're throwing things at him like protections and schemes and see if he can process it. And I know Steve Keim is a big believer, you know, in football IQ, and that's something that'll dog you your entire career if, you know, if you're not a guy who can process information quickly. And look, no position more critical for that than quarterback, and you can bet Steve Wilks was asked about that.
One of the things that we talked about from day one is really being aggressive. When free agency starts, we're going to look to try to get the best one. Not only have a plan A, but a plan B and a plan C. I think you got to be aggressive for us, not just waiting for free agency. I think you have to possibly look at trades. You know, is it a draft? We're sitting at 15. Do we feel there's a guy that we need to move up for?
And for obvious reasons there, Kyle, it's not like Steve Wilks was naming names. Yeah, that does the Cardinals no good. He's not showing his hand in terms of what free agents they might covet or what sort of trades might be out there. Now, we did get news on the same day of the combine there when they spoke that Mike Glennon is going to be released. The Bears confirmed that when March 14th rolls around. But in general, he's talking big picture about the Big Red and quarterback, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting listening to him. It just seems like he's very confident that he's going to find a quarterback that he really likes. One of the narratives is kind of this today was about the NFC West and the teams that have improved. Obviously, when you look at the Rams and the 49ers and the Seahawks are still a very good team. And Steve Wilks was saying, you know, we're right there with those guys. We just need a quarterback. And obviously, that's the big question. But I think he feels like, whether they do it in free agency or the draft or if they trade for someone, they're going to find somebody to put in there, and they have enough pieces on offense and defense to remain competitive like they have been the last 5 years under Bruce Arians.
All right. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, Steve Keim was also asked that question, and of course it's his job to really evaluate every aspect of the QB and not just what you can see on film.
We all know, as you look back in time, the guys who've had success, it's the ability to play between the years. You know, it's processing information, learning the playbook, the work ethic side of it. And that's the part of the process that comes into play right now as we're interviewing these guys for the first time, and we'll spend time with them this spring on their campus and potentially at our facility on the 30 visits.
You know, when you look at this and just your gut feel here, Darren, because they're not showing their hand once again, but do you get the sense after Steve Wilks and Steve Keim spoke at the combine that the Cardinals would make a serious run, even maybe up the draft board, if they identify a quarterback of the future in the draft?
I would say that if you're asking me, I don't know if I can necessarily give odds, but I would say that I think there's more of a chance of that this year than there has been in the past.
That's a good answer. I agree.
I know that's not necessarily saying anything in cement, but I think the draft question, because it comes after free agency, I think free agency is going to tell us a lot about what they're thinking or what they are going to need to think, maybe is a better way to say it. Depends on who they chase or what kind of veteran. I will say the one thing that came out of what Steve Keim and Steve Wilks has been saying, and I don't think it's that far of a stretch to say, again, you're going to have a veteran and you're going to have somebody to groom. That's the idea. That's what Steve Keim wants to do. I believe he said that today. So, now how you put those together, the guy to groom, is that, are we talking about a younger free agent out there, which is probably unlikely, because if you're younger and available as a quarterback already in the league, how much upside can you have? So it's probably a draft pick, but is it later? Is it earlier? And, will that depend on the veteran? And the other part about the veteran part of it is, even if you're trying to go highbrow with your veteran free agent, you're not necessarily going to get them. So then if you don't and you go to plan C or whatever, we've heard about, then does that change what you want in the draft? So I think until they start filling out some of these spots, and in this case we're talking about what they do in free agency at quarterback, I think that's going to define in a lot of ways what happens in the draft and how the direction they want to go, and both in terms of quarterback and how it would impact the 2018 team as opposed to going beyond that.
For example, there's a mock draft that came out this week in NFL.com that has the Cardinals trading up to number 8 and selecting Lamar Jackson out of Louisville. And I'm like, wow, I wouldn't see that one coming. Here's Steve Keim on that whole topic.
If you like a guy enough, you don't want to take the chance of waiting. If you believe a guy is a franchise quarterback, in my opinion, take him and don't look back. Don't worry about where he's projected to go. Again, that position is so important to your success. It really doesn't matter where you take him, because 2 years from now, nobody's going to remember that.
That's true. If the quarterback is a home run like a Carson Wentz or maybe even a Jared Goff, eventually no one is going to remember the compensation, what you gave up. They just know you're set for the next decade at quarterback. I know also, Kyle, that he was asked about whether he had any regrets about where the Cardinals are at right now, and that is to say without a quarterback of the future, and how much extra pressure that puts on us, Steve Keim.
Sure, and it's an interesting situation, because he said that there were opportunities maybe in the past few years to trade up, and obviously he didn't do it to grab a quarterback. So you think about it, and especially if a guy that you were looking at has success, I'm sure you think about it and say, oh, I could have made this move. But in the moment, you don't know how that person is going to project to the NFL level. And like we've been saying, it costs so much to move up that, it's going to cost you in depth on the entire team. So it's not an easy decision. And when you had Carson Palmer sitting there as your starter, as a guy who was above average, it was easy to understand why you'd want to fill holes elsewhere when you had a veteran quarterback in place who you knew was going to give you a good performance. Now they're in a different position, and that's why it does make more sense if they identify a guy and they don't feel like he's going to be there at 15, then you do become more aggressive and you're willing to give away picks to move up if they have a feeling like, hey, this is a franchise signal caller, and maybe he drops into that range beyond the first few picks where it's more tenable to make the move. Then I think it does make sense where they would want to be aggressive.
And the other aspect of the combine is that, Darren, and you know this better than any of us here, is that all the parties get together, whether it's the teams and the decision makers, the agents. And if you believe a lot of stories have been written in the last week, I don't know if maybe so. This is coming to light more often than not, but so much of the groundwork is laid at the combine, and some of the discussions that are supposedly had, whether legal or not, there's a lot of acknowledgement that teams will get a sense as to who's truly available and what it'll cost them in free agency. And then I get the sense, and then teams start realizing, okay, we are going to be all in on the draft, or we're not. At least when they come away from Indianapolis, they have a much clearer picture than when they went in.
I think the plan is obviously starts to crystallize as we go, but that's only natural. At some point, you're going to start having that start to get narrowed down as you get closer. And so, you know, where exactly they end up, I mean, there's always a surprise. And until a guy's name in free agency, for instance, until a guy's name is on a dotted line somewhere, you know, nothing's over yet. And so that's the other thing that has to be kept in mind is, like, you might have some inklings one way or the other, I suppose, but until the guy actually signs or it's out there that he's going to, I mean, you know, you don't know exactly what all this means. You don't know if some stuff is just being thrown out there as leverage by maybe a player's side.
That's true.
You know, hey, you know, we're getting all this interest. We got five teams interested in us. Well, how do you know? I mean, there's no way to know.
Right. A lot of chatter that Kirk Cousins all of a sudden has a lot of interest in Minnesota or vice versa, but how do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know that's genuine?
You can't. And so it's a very, again, it's a difficult time. I mean, first world problems. I mean, obviously we can think of lots of things in the world that are worse than if you're an NFL general manager trying to find a quarterback. But in the world that you live in, if you're an NFL general manager, that's probably the worst thing you have is trying to narrow one down. So, you know, again, I think as we get closer, I mean, we're not that going to be, by the time they get out of the combine, I mean, we're only going to be a week or so out of the official tampering time, which is March 12th, and when everybody can start talking for real. So it's going to quickly come upon us, and we're going to hear some things relatively quickly.
And even though you're going to need three or four quarterbacks, because not a single one will be under contract come March 14th, that's not your only need. And Steve Wilks was asked about the Cardinals' O-line.
We're going to do exactly what it takes to win the game. I say this all the time. It's not really about having a scheme. It's about having a system. And when you have a system, you're going to adapt to your personnel, most importantly, to everything that you're going to do each and every week.
And a little bit later, I know Steve Keim was doing one of the one-off interviews with one of the broadcast groups, and he mentioned, yeah, offensive line is an area we're going to concentrate on. In fact, he did elaborate on that a little bit during his time at the podium.
It's amazing to me how far these guys have come. As they're talking about protections, they're talking about some of the scan stuff that the backs have to do and some of the things that the inside slot receiver sees against this coverage. And, you know, when I was coming out as an offensive lineman, those are certainly things that I didn't think about. But it's getting more and more competitive, and they know that that will help their draft value in the long run.
All right, so that's a plus when it comes to college offensive linemen. I guess the negative there, Kyle, would be the fact a lot of them have never been in a three-point stance or huddled up because a lot of the air raid offenses.
Yeah, we've seen that with the offensive linemen that the Cardinals have drafted. Even DJ Humphreys in the first round, as athletic as he is and as talented as he is, it took him a year to grasp an NFL offense, to learn how to be a professional at the NFL level. So that's always the debate, is O-linemen are very valuable, and I think they're even going up in value as teams realize that they have to protect their quarterback. And if you can get a strong blocking group, you don't really need a special running back sometimes if they can do most of the dirty work. So I think that there's a lot of emphasis on the line, but if it takes them a year or two to develop, and if there's a lot of guys that are busts and never turn into something, then you're losing a pick or losing at least some time on it. So it's an interesting dance. Obviously, every team would love to have as good as an offensive line as they can. Cardinals are no exception. So I'm sure they're going to look hard at it. You would love to, you know, be young and have durable guys and have talented guys, but you have to figure out if it takes too long and you have to fill that hole in free agency and that costs money, that takes it away from other spots. It's an intricate dance, and it's going to be interesting to see what Keim thinks of this group and which way he goes with the offensive line.
And Keim did say in another interview that the Cardinals are going to focus on the cornerback opposite Patrick Peterson, quote unquote. And my understanding, I don't know if I heard this correctly, guys, there's like 44 corners at the combine. That is an extremely deep position group this year in Indy.
I'll be honest, I hadn't heard the numbers, but I mean, that doesn't necessarily surprise me. And again, when each position kind of takes on a life of its own at each draft class, and there are some years when a certain position is stronger than others, and that's great, because obviously cornerback is a place where everybody's always looking, and it's one of those premium positions that everybody's talking about, including Steve Keim. That, I mean, ultimately, if you're the NFL, you'd much rather have a great deep year at cornerback than maybe a great deep year at, I don't know, tight end, with all due respect to all the fine tight ends out there in the world.
Right.
Because, you know, you need corners. You need better corners. It's the way the game is.
Well, and then you have, what, 19 unrestricted free agents on the Cardinals' existing current roster and 3 restricted free agents. So you have to make those decisions as well. In fact, Steve Keim was asked about that.
There's a number of core players that we have talked about that we're certainly being active in talks. But as we've mentioned many times before, as they get closer to free agency, sometimes it's enticing for them to see what's out there. So there are a number of guys, 4 or 5, that we'd certainly like to have back and feel like are a core part of our team.
I mean, when he says that, I start thinking, Kyle, of a Jerron Brown, you know, John Brown, presumably based on his health, a Kareem Martin. Those are the kind of names that would come to mind there. What were you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the guys that obviously performed last year. I think a Tremont Williams and a Josh Bynes are a couple of guys who are heading into free agency that played well last year. And anybody that had a good season that fit in well, it makes sense to definitely kick the tires on that. The flip side of it is if they played well or if they've shown that ability in the past, then you're talking about competing with a lot of other teams, and then maybe you run into financial issues if you can't pay them as much as somebody else can, or if they're looking for a different role or more playing time. So I think, you know, you can pretty easily identify some of the top guys on the Cardinals who had nice seasons. But now, you know, from the Cardinals' perspective, you want these guys back. But now you have to deal with a lot of other teams that might also find value in these guys that you're fighting against for them.
And last season, like it or not, the Cardinals find out about the importance of depth on a roster from 1 through 53 and beyond. Here's Steve Wilks.
I don't think we're far off. I think I put together a great coaching staff, guys that are great teachers, good communicators, and guys that are going to develop the back end of the roster. And that's the most important thing moving forward.
Talking about his coaching staff and the importance of developing those players. And, you know, look, Steve Wilks kept it on a, you know, a 30,000-foot view there, but I think everyone got a sense, Darren, you tell me, that he's all business, that, you know, the guy who can be the commanding presence in the room, that guy definitely showed up. And I think a lot of people were seeing him firsthand and getting a sense of his style and what his demeanor will be like as a head coach. Would you say that's accurate?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any question that when it comes to Steve Wilks, the first thing you're going to notice, which is because it's the first thing the public is going to see, is the presence he has addressing a room or talking on a microphone. I mean, you see all those things, and you see why he's hired, and everybody I've been talking to, and obviously this is really the first chance. It's so easy to bounce around. I mean, I've heard from, I want to say 4 or 5 writers from around the league that covered Wilks at previous stops that have asked me about Steve Wilks and my impressions and all that stuff, and that's all they talk about. And I had reached out to a couple of them earlier when Steve Wilks first got hired, asking him the same thing, and they said, see, you know, this is what I was telling you. So, I mean, again, I don't think there's going to be no issues to me with Steve Wilks commanding the room, getting the players' attention, being a leader for this team. That really hasn't been a concern of mine from jump because of how I noticed how he was. You know, the rest of it, the nuts and bolts, the behind the scenes, the coaching, which I'm sure he's going to do just fine. I mean, that's the stuff that has to play out on the field, and we don't know a whole lot about it, and we know even less because, again, not only with the personnel have the Cardinals and Steve Wilks been kind of tight-lipped about how things are going to go, but they continue to be pretty tight-lipped of, you know, some of the nuts and bolts about how they're going to play on the field, what kind of offense they're going to run, what kind of defense they're going to run, those kinds of things. They've been pretty quiet about that, and I'll be curious to see if they stay quiet all the way till camp or if it's just a question of waiting to see what kind of players they have before they start talking a lot about it.
Well, the media did go down swinging, to your point. They did ask him, and for Steve Wilks, it's new getting asked about the offensive side of the ball, but that was one of the questions.
This league is about matchups. You take Carolina, for instance, you get great linebackers that run side to side where you got to slow them down with gap schemes. You get a safety that's very aggressive right there, play action over the top. You get a corner that doesn't like to tackle, we're going to find them. We're going to crack replace, and now it's one-on-one with him and David Johnson in space. So I think you got to do creative things right there to get the matchups that you want.
And to Darren's point there, you know, Kyle, everyone wants to know about the style of the offense, what it's going to look like post Bruce Arians, what is the Cardinals defense going to look like, minus James Betcher and Al Holcomb. Well, so much of that, at least if you listen to Steve Wilks and every one of his assistants, is going to be predicated on the abilities and skill sets of the players. So, in other words, that's unknown. That's undefined right now.
Yeah, especially, I mean, I think you look at the defensive side of the ball, you see where the team's talent lies. I would expect something kind of similar to last year. Whether it's the same scheme or not, we're not sure, but a team that, you know, can get after you with a different few guys blitzing, that there's some playmakers on the back end, you know, Chandler Jones coming back and Marcus Golden getting back from that ACL, trying to do well on the edges, getting after the quarterback. So I think you can kind of understand what's going to happen on defense more, but offensively, without a quarterback, the wide receiver core is in flux. The offensive line, we're not sure exactly what it's going to look like yet. So, you know, you have David Johnson, you know, you have Larry Fitzgerald, but you could go a number of different ways other than that. So, they want to run the ball, which every team does. And if you try to stop the run, they're going to throw. And those things are just kind of common core elements of any offensive style from Pop Warner to the NFL. But to get more specific, we're going to have to see how free agency looks, how the draft looks, and especially who your quarterback's going to be.
Well, and you heard him mention there, if you have an aggressive playmaking blitzing safety, then you have to account for him. Well, the name Tyrann Mathieu did come up with Steve Wilks.
I think he can do so much. Cover, he can blitz. You know, when you look at the things we've done in the past at Carolina, he fits right into that mold. I like his skill set. And again, moving forward, see exactly how he fits into the 2018 Arizona Cardinals.
So obviously, if you're Steve Wilks and Al Holcomb, you know, you're going to design a defense around the likes of a Patrick Peterson and a Chandler Jones and a Tyrann Mathieu, if that indeed is the case, if that's what the roster looks like. What else, Darren? What else is the rest of the week going to, you know, where's that going to get us? Where are you guys going to go? Now that Wilks and Keim have spoken, what's your game plan coverage-wise from there?
Well, to be honest, we have both of us, Kyle and I, have a handful of stories in the can. Be writing about a big picture of the quarterback chase, which I think everybody is paying attention to. I'll have an offensive line story. Kyle's got a couple of stories about local guys that have excelled that have a chance to be first round draft picks from the Valley. And then, you know, we're all kind of building up to next week where the two of us will have a series of stories on all the big name draftable quarterbacks, because again, that's the position everybody's looking at right now, and that's what people care about. And obviously, the Cardinals aren't necessarily going to get all of them. They're obviously not going to get all of them. At this point, you're hoping they get one of them. We just don't know which one. So trying to, you know, carpet that whole position and see if we can hit on all of them. And at some point, hopefully, one of them ends up with the Arizona Cardinals.
You know, there's a couple of famous spots and restaurants, including St. Elmo's. Is it almost impossible to get a reservation or get in there? Do you have to be a Steve Keim or a Steve Wilks, an NFL head coach, to actually get a reservation? How does that work? Because the whole world is seemingly has descended on Indianapolis.
Well, you got to effort it. I mean, I know Kyle's been there the last couple of years. It's been quite a few years since I've been to St. Elmo's, but that's more out of my choice rather than not necessarily wanting to go there, not being able to get a reservation. But
are you sure, Darren? My understanding was you have a wine and cigar locker at St. Elmo's. Is that true or false?
I'm going to call false on that.
Okay. Well, so I just get this sense that if you go into one of these places, oh, look, hey, there's John Gruden. Oh, look, there's Bill Belichick. I mean, you could just spend all night name dropping and people watching if you wanted to. True or false, Kyle?
Yeah, this is definitely a surreal atmosphere. Actually, at St. Elmo's last year, I was walking into the restroom and John Schneider, the Seahawks GM, was walking out. So I saw him, and a couple years ago, walking down the street, and Jim Harbaugh walks by. So it's definitely everywhere you turn, you're running into coaches or GMs or scouts or players or whatever it is. But it's a very unique event in that space where it seems like everybody in Indianapolis right now is related to the NFL in some way.
You know,
I will say, Paul, that I was walking annually when I get to town. I get into the hotel and then I make a quick run to the drugstore to get a couple things for the room for the week. And I ran into Ken Wisenhunt, had a chance to talk a little bit with him. Saw
nice.
John Lott out front of the John Lott, a former strength coach, out in front of the Westin. He had left his phone in the taxi, and when we pulled up, we were watching him run desperately after the taxi to get his phone back, which fortunately he did get his phone. So that was good. So I agree with Ka. I mean, you obviously see everybody. There's a reason why everybody's here. And in the job that we have, obviously we work with a lot of high profile people anyways, but it doesn't mean that, you know, when there's another bigger name that you don't normally see and he's walking right next to you or whatever it might be, that it doesn't get your attention a little bit.
I mean, what's Coach Lott doing? Do you tell him to get his mind right? You know, leaving his cell phone in a taxi? You know, get your mind right over there, Coach. Come on now.
Exactly.
By the way, our Jim Omohundro said, I don't know if he knows this from experience or not, but that supposedly the real people watching is 2:30 a.m. at Steak and Shake. So I don't know if you guys are going to be able to confirm or deny that by the end of your trip. But if you find yourself hungry at that hour in the morning, you might want to try Steak and Shake.
I got bigger problems if I'm up at 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard Rex Ryan and Rob Ryan were the stars of Steak and Shake in past years. I don't know if they'll be around this year.
Yeah.
It's like urban legend that those two guys can hold it down over there.
Yeah, somehow that's not surprising whatsoever. All right, did I miss anything? Anything else? Everything else pretty much as you forecast?
Yeah,
okay.
I think we've covered everything.
Okay, all right. Well, very good, gentlemen. And you know, give us the latest. I'll look forward to your tweets on the three cone drill and some of the other events going on out there. So you know, and that's the thing. I mean, it's really buttoned down. The NFL Network controls so much of it, right? I mean, you know, you sort of have to exist within their world. This event, and it's amazing some of the TV ratings and the numbers. You know, and I shouldn't gloss over the fact that the appetite for the NFL Network. We like to make little cracks, but people are watching. People are consuming this. This is part of that insatiable appetite for the NFL.
Yeah, and just think of last year with John Ross breaking the 40-yard dash record, and that was. I mean, everybody was tuning in for that, checking it out. So there's some highlights. It's fun when the quarterbacks are throwing to watch them or elite wide receivers catching the ball. It's nothing like the actual thing, but people are already going through some withdrawals, and it gives them a little pick-me-up before free agency.
In fact, all right, appointment viewing. When are the quarterbacks working out? Do you guys know that offhand? When are the quarterbacks actually going to be throwing? Is Saturday the big day?
Saturday. I believe Saturday is the day for the quarterbacks.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good stuff. Thank you guys very much. Enjoy it. And, you know, be sure to get over to St. Elmo's at some point because, you know, you haven't checked your cigar and wine locker in a couple years, apparently, presumably. That'll do it for Cardinals Underground. For Darren Urban and Kyle Odegaard in Indianapolis, Paul Calvisi at Cards Headquarters on azcardinals.com.